There is something about him, isn't there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Becoming the Anomaly podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Meetu. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. I'm so glad and so thankful you guys are joining me today, giving me any of your time to spend with me. Hopefully that today's content, today's interview that you guys will hear will really benefit you. I'm really excited to have this individual on the podcast. I think he is a faith-filled guy. He's a guy that leads others. He's a guy that has a lot of big plans for his life, and I think some of the insights and things he has in just wired in his DNA will be really insightful for each and every one of you guys listening. So I want to say thank you again, and before I introduce him here, I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you who have tuned in, who've listened to previous podcasts, and more importantly, who've actually reached out to me and let me know, giving me feedback on what you like about it, what you think could be added into it or subtracted into it. I truly value all of your feedback. So it's just been a tremendous ride. Been hearing a lot of good things. And so I just, like always, will always start every podcast by thanking each and every one of you guys who spend even a minute of your time listening. But with that being said, it's worth the listen, because my goal with this podcast is to always bring you guys insightful conversations and entertaining laughs that hopefully uplift your day. But with that all being said, I want to introduce to you guys, he is currently on the phone on the other end here. We went to high school together for a time, and possibly middle school, I'm not sure. Yeah, we went to middle school, right? Yeah. So that voice you just heard, he is also, you know, one of the greatest names on history. His name's Jake, Jake Shaddix. And so I'm going to toss over to Jake. Just introduce the people to who you are, kind of just, you know, who's Jake Shaddix?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. First of all, really excited to be on. Thanks for the introduction.
Absolutely.
So my name is Jake Shaddix. I'm 23 years old. Right now I'm currently going to Boise State, and I play football on the football program there. Anything else specifically?
What position do you play?
I play running back.
You play running back. Okay.
Sure.
So yes. So how long have you been playing for the program?
This will be my third year at Boise State, and it happens to be my senior year coming up as well.
Senior year.
What is that?
Senior year, right? So, and yeah. Then where did you transfer from?
So I transferred from a Division II program, which, if people aren't too familiar with like the different divisions in college football, Division II is like. So the D1 is like your big schools that you would see on TV kind of thing, and then Division II is like a step below that, a little bit, well, quite a bit smaller actually. And so, yeah, I came from a Division II program called Azusa Pacific in Southern California.
Southern California. So I'm just curious, how did you even end up there? Oh, because you moved to California, right?
Yeah, yeah. So do you want me to go through?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, lay the background. Let's hear it.
All right, I'll try to keep it as short as possible.
No. As long as you need to, as long as it takes to get the context of who Shaddix is, hey, it's all worth it.
Well, I'm pretty simple. Nothing too complex. like you said earlier, we went to high school together at Skyview, but my junior year, I moved back to Redding, California, which is where I was born. And we lived till I was 11, right before we moved to Idaho when I was 11. But anyway, so we moved back to where I was originally from. And I played my senior year of football there. And then we actually moved back to Nampa with you, and then graduated with you from Skyview. But that was all after my senior year of football there. So all the film that I got from there is actually what helped me to play at the next level. So out of high school, I had a lot of Division II offers, which is where I ended up going was a Division II. I had Division II offers and NAIA offers, which is a little – it's about D2. It's just kind of separate from the NCAA. It's kind of hard to explain if people aren't too –
Yeah, exactly. I gotcha.
But, so I had offers from schools like that. And at the time, I was kind of young and immature, and it was the D1 big schools like your Boise States and, you know, Stanford, all the schools that you'd see on TV, like that was the dream, that was the goal, and I wasn't going to settle for anything less at the time. And so come about February, that's usually signing day and all that goes on around there, so all these guys that are going to these big schools already have it figured out at that time, like where they're going, you know, and they're signing on and that kind of thing. Well, all I really had were those D2 and NAIA offers, and something that I felt like that I wanted to do, or that I just felt like I could do more, I guess.
Yeah. Can you real quick, because I think it's very intriguing to me, can you describe your mentality going from high school? Obviously the goal was to go to D1, but can you describe to everyone your mentality going from high school to that D2 and then kind of preparing that transition to D1 where you're at today?
Well, so before I actually got to the D2, right out of high school, I actually went to a prep school, and I'll explain what that is in a second. But the reason I did that was because I didn't want to go to those D2s or those NAIAs. And so I went to a prep school in North Carolina, and what that's about is the prep school is an option for guys that maybe feel like they're under-recruited, or maybe they got injured out of high school and didn't get a chance to, you know, have a college offer, that kind of thing. And then some schools will send their guys that they're recruiting to a prep school simply because their grades weren't good enough or something on the academic side.
Yeah.
And so basically I went ahead and I took the prep school route because I wanted to try like another year of, you know, getting my film out there and seeing what could come of it and seeing if I would have an opportunity to play at one of those bigger schools. And so I went to that prep school in North Carolina, and the cool thing is it doesn't count towards eligibility for college.
So that's why you're able to – no way.
Yeah.
So, wow, okay.
That was the big reason why I went there, was because it didn't take anything off of eligibility. It didn't start, like, the college timer, you know?
Yeah.
So so then from there, that was kind of a nightmare, but I did learn a lot. And again, I'll get to that later, I'm sure, in you know –
yeah.
Further ahead, but yeah, like, that was kind of a nightmare in the way that they bring on 7 running backs.
No and, way. Are you serious?
Yeah, and every guy that goes there has to play, so we all have to get playing time. And
wow.
The way we did it was we would do a 3-play rotation, and anybody that knows football, like, it when you're a running back, like, you get in your groove, like, it's just really hard to get in your groove when you're only getting 3 plays, and those 3 plays might not even be running plays, you know, those could be pass plays, and so, as you can imagine, it's really hard to put together solid film for college scouts, and a lot of these college scouts aren't even understanding that it's a prep school. They're thinking this is high school film they're seeing, which makes it worse, because, I mean, my high school highlights were, like, night and day, much better.
Oh, yeah, you balled out in high school.
What's that?
You balled out in high school, man.
Yeah, I mean, most guys that play on, it's because they had a pretty good high school career.
Yeah.
So then from there, again, it was the same kind of thing. This time I had a little bit more interest from those bigger schools, but nobody pulled the trigger on an offer or even a walk-on opportunity or anything like that. So I was stuck, again, not sure where I was going. And then I had a guy that was helping me out in recruiting, so he was sending my film out there and reaching out to coaches for me. And then it was late again for the recruiting process, and he's like, you know what? Why don't you do this? Why don't you just send out a mass email where you say that you are interested in walking on to all the schools that you wouldn't mind walking on to? So I basically what I did was I took like California, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, Utah, Arizona, all the schools on this side of the country.
Wow.
And I emailed them and said, hey, like, you know, if you guys have room, I'd love to walk on. If you can offer me a scholarship, I'll absolutely take it, you know, that kind of thing. And one of the very first schools that got back to me was Azusa Pacific, which was the Division II school in Southern California. And it's a Christian private school. It's in Southern California, and I mean, dude, I love SoCal.
Who doesn't, man? Who does not love SoCal?
So that was my thought process there, was wow, they responded right away. They obviously seem interested. It's a great school. It's a, you know, it's a Christian school and all that. So that was really the big reason why I took that. And from there, it was kind of the thing you asked about, my mentality going to a D2 with, like, the, still the D1 goal on my mind.
Yeah.
Well, when I decided to go there, that goal of D1, I kind of had to push aside. It kind of went away, I would say. Like, obviously having to, like, not necessarily settle for a D2, but I knew that was my best bet. And so I went there and I full-heartedly embraced like that opportunity. I wasn't necessarily concerned with the possibility of, you know, another school reaching out to me and wanting me, because that really just doesn't happen, but it did.
Wow.
So yeah, that was the reasoning behind why I went to that Division II school. And just trust in God, man. Like I knew. I mean, when we went there and then on our visit, and then the whole like freshman orientation kind of thing, like, dude, they had praise and worship like on that day.
Love it.
Wow, like that's pretty cool to me. So I felt like that was the right choice. And I can say, even though I only spent a year there, that was definitely a God, that was like God leading me there, you know,
Wow. kind of. So here, I'm curious too, because I think a lot of times in our lives, like the short seasons that seem to go by the blink of an eye, mm-hmm. are turned out to be some of the most beneficial. And so I kind of want to hear about your experience at the university there before you ended up at Boise State, kind of what you took away from it. Maybe it was growing in your faith. Maybe it was more of a humbling experience. What's your big takeaways from that experience of your life?
You nailed it when you said a humbling experience, because I think looking back, a big reason why I wanted to go to those D1 schools wasn't to glorify God. I think it was more to glorify my own name.
Wow.
And that's something that I think, I mean, looking back right now, I'm pretty sure I just realized that right now thinking about that. Because that was never... It wasn't necessarily.
It was your goal, not God's goal.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's good.
I wasn't thinking like, hey, if I go D1, like I'll have a huge stage where I can put God on display. You know, it's more like, you know, this is for all the people that doubt me and don't think I'm good enough to do it. You know, it was all about me.
Wow.
And so going to that D2 school, I had to accept the fact that I wasn't even there, so I wasn't even concerned with, you know, those Division I schools and those big stage schools, because I wasn't there. I was at a smaller school, and I was going to plug right in and do everything I could there, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would say that was definitely the biggest learning experience, was the humility that came from it. Like, God taught me, like, hey, your journey is not just about you. Your journey is, especially someone that walks with God, you know, as Christians, I believe, like, everything that we do is not about us on this earth. I mean, if you look at the Bible, dude, that's Jesus throughout the whole thing. And nothing was about just him, you know?
Absolutely.
Or him really at all. It's about the people of the earth, you know? And I believe that's kind of how we're called to live. And that's one thing that I had to learn from that experience.
Wow. That's so good, man. That's so true, too. Wow, that's good. So, so let's bring it up to where we're at current day and kind of just explain how you got to Boise State. Obviously, you have your roots. You have Idaho ties and roots here. And so kind of break down how you got to Boise State and kind of what led to where you're at today as far as maybe your experiences or other things that you've kind of taken away from your time at BSU as you head into your senior year.
Yeah, well, so the way that I got to BSU, that's all God, man. It just, like I said earlier, that just does not happen. Like,
no.
Unless you have, like, if you're a really well-known guy, you know, at the D2 level, and you're balling out and you're young and, like, you have a lot of time left, they can find you. That can absolutely happen. But I played my freshman year at that, at Azusa was special teams. And
no way. Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I was actually the only true freshman on the team that year. Like, nobody else that was a freshman actually played. But I got the opportunity to play special teams. And, I mean, so basically it wasn't by any film that BSU had seen from Azusa. That's not how I got there at all. What happened was my dad has a friend that he coached with, like, just youth football and stuff. So he's a family friend that actually played at BSU years and years ago. And he sent my film to the coaches at Boise State, my high school film.
Come on.
And and so they got the running backs coach there, got it, and basically, like, he liked it enough to say, hey, like, we might have a walk-on spot. Let's try to get this kid here.
Wow.
Now, the scary thing is, or was, they were not allowed to contact me me being a part of the team at Azusa, they weren't allowed to contact me unless I fully was released from the school.
Wow.
And so basically I had to, like, take a leap of faith and say, like, hey, I'm leaving this school.
Oh my gosh.
that I might get the chance to be on Boise State's team.
Wow.
And so, yeah, dude, it was nuts.
What?
Like, looking back.
Real quick, can I ask, what did it take? Like, how, because I know a lot of people that listen, you know, and that's probably the best part about this story is that it can translate to a lot of other things. So maybe someone who's listening is struggling in their career. Maybe they're struggling with maybe cutting off a relationship or starting a new one, and it takes a lot of faith to start that. What did it take for you to take that faith? Was it just having that goal, that dream being right there? Or kind of.
Yeah, well, that was a huge part of it, was that, like, wow. Like, first, so let me backtrack. Like, Boise State, I mean, what the years I spent in Idaho, I mean, you and I were from there, by Boise. So, I mean, I'm sure you, just like me, grew up watching Boise State
more so. Every Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was kind of the dream school, like, after spending enough time here, because that was the first, like, really local college sports team that I had grown up around. And so, I mean, I went to some games every now and then, but I always watched on Saturday. And I mean, we all got to grow up in the perfect times, like, for being a Boise State fan, you know, like, that's when they really, I guess they're, what am I trying to say? They blew up, kind of thing, you know,
yep.
The Fiesta Bowl and all that when we were younger.
They were put on the map.
There you go, yeah, couldn't put it into words, so, and then with that, like, that was the dream school right there, and then all of a sudden, this opportunity opens up, and my thinking was like, if I don't do this, if I don't go for this, and this dream that is presenting itself, even though it's a very slim chance and there's no guarantees, I'll regret it for the rest of my life, because I'll wonder what could have been. And the thing is, Azusa, don't get me wrong, that was a special place, and it was an outstanding program, an outstanding school. But
it's not Boise State.
Exactly. It wasn't, I didn't grow up as a kid thinking I want to go to Azusa. You know what I mean? I didn't know what Azusa was. And that's not a knockdown to them. It's just they weren't on that level, you know? And so I think, and I was definitely scared. Like I said, there's no guarantees. They straight up told me that when I was actually able to contact them. They said, like, I was talking to the coach, and he's like, look, like, it's not up to me. And if it was, yeah, I'd bring you on, but it's our whole staff. We got to go over things. We got to see what we need. And, you know, if the opportunity presents itself for you, yeah, we'll bring you along. But if not, like, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And, but the one thing that I can say that really got me through that was that every time in my life, I mean, and I wasn't, you know, I was like 20 or 19 at the time. And I still haven't lived long at all. But I can tell you that in the times that I've trusted God, he's never let me down.
Yeah, so true.
He will open those doors if you just, if he calls you to do something, and if he plants a dream within you, he will open the doors to make it happen. Maybe not as you might, you know, see it in your head or as you might, I guess, imagine it, but he will lead you to whatever it is that he's calling you.
That's
you
so know? True.
And so, yeah, I mean, he opened the door and I was able to go.
Man, dude, I love that. That's so good right there. Cause I know a lot of people that listen, I don't think we put in perspective the entire story of our lives. And it takes a really large perspective to look and say, wow, I will regret that. And in the time, it's scary, it's frightful, you're not sure.
Right.
And it takes a lot of faith. On your end, you put your faith in the right thing, but a lot of times people get so scared they put in the wrong thing. So that's why your story, that journey to get to where you're at now is so incredible, because it translates. And so that brings me to this point. I just kind of, for those listening, I know there are probably a lot of people who are listening that are fans of Boise State or just sports in general. And I kind of want to, I worked when I was at Boise State. So as everyone knows, I graduated in 2016, and my second year of school there, I was a marketing intern. So I worked a lot in the athletic program. So I got to see the life of a student athlete inside, but for many people, they have no idea. They just see him on a football field. They expect him to perform. But I kind of want to give you the opportunity to just share with people what does the life of a student athlete look like? The responsibilities, the work ethic it takes, kind of just your, as you've learned and as you prepare for your upcoming graduation and all those good things, just kind of things you've taken away from your journey.
Yeah, it's not easy. I'll say that right away. And I some sports definitely hold it worse than others in terms of, you know, how long the season is or what they're allowed to do with NCAA rules and that sort of thing. But no matter what sport you play, being a student athlete is absolutely not an easy thing to do. And that's one thing that I'm really thankful for, even though, you know, it kind of stinks going to it sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know that it's absolutely something that's translatable to, you know, for the rest of my life. Like, so just a quick rundown, like, and it also depends on, you know, like what your major is and just little, there's all kinds of factors that come into play, but no matter what, you're having your workouts, you know, like even in and out of season, like, especially like with football, we, the only month we get off the entire year is May. And so,
which is ridiculous to think about.
Yeah. So, I mean, even in the off season, you have workouts, you have, you know, meetings on top of school, there's film, but in season, especially, we try to work out a couple times a week. So they'll have us come in the mornings, then you go to class all day. Then in the evenings, we come back and we start meetings, you know, we got practice, and then that's just what's required too. But one thing that, you know, a lot of coaches will tell you, a lot of athletes will tell you, is if you're only doing what's required of you, you're definitely not doing enough to see the field by any means.
That's so true.
Or at least be elite. So, and that's really the separation, is where it's how much time you're spending outside of what's required. So, you know, like, if you want to be great, you obviously, at anything, you're going to have to spend extra time on it. But on top of the stuff that you're doing, you know, specifically to your sport, you also have homework, and you have to, and I mean, Boise State, our athletic program kills it academically. So, I mean, something that we really stress, and so.
The 3.0, what is that? Is that the Mountain West? You guys won the Mountain West award
for the most guys around 3.0.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's huge to our program. And
massive.
I mean, yeah, it takes a lot, though, like, especially when you're going through a class schedule that, you know, you got some difficult classes on there. It's not easy.
Man, so. I could imagine. Well, just curious, too, for people, maybe they're interested or not, who knows, but I am. So so as you prepare, like I said, you're a senior, as you prepare for your upcoming graduation, what are you majoring in, and kind of what is the next stages of life look like? Obviously you've got a big season ahead of you, you've got big goals ahead of you, but as you prepare for that upcoming season afterwards, what does life look like in your eyes at this time of your life?
Yeah, well, so I'm majoring in exercise science, kinesiology, and so with that, like, the goal for me is to open up my own athletic training facility one day, just, you know, performance facility kind of thing, and train athletes, you know, speed, strength, all that stuff, and then maybe even position specific. It's pretty broad for me in terms of what exactly I want to do with that, but. And then the other thing is, like, you know, playing football, anytime you're a football player, I think every kid in the world, or in America at least, every kid's dream that plays football is to reach the NFL somehow, you know?
Yep.
And for a while, I will say I got to a point where I was almost scared to vocalize that, just because it looks so glim and like there's no chance, because I haven't played a snap for Boise State yet. And it's like, how could I possibly get to that stage? Well, I mean, that's been the way my life has been. Is how was I even going to get to Boise State?
Well, dude, if I can insert there too, it's funny that you mentioned that is because I listened earlier today. I listened to an interview with Marshall Faulk, and he was talking about how there was one game back when he was in college. I don't know where he went to college, but he played Pacific University.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so it was San Diego State, that's right.
Yeah, he went to San Diego.
Yeah, SDSU. So, but this was I don't know if this was still when he was at San Diego State.
Years ago.
And so he played, I don't even know if it was Pacific University in Oregon or California, but he had a game where he wasn't the starter. He was never on the field. The guy that he was backing up was a senior, so he was not getting touches. The guy got hurt the week before. This game against Pacific, he had 7 rushing touchdowns, he had 37 rushing attempts, and he had 386 yards.
Wow.
And he had never played a snap until that game.
Yeah, see, and that just goes to show, man, like, anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
And in my mind, it's not that I necessarily, you know, believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's going to happen, but I do believe that even if it doesn't, God's got a plan for me.
That's
and
right.
I'm going to be just fine, you know. If it does, great, and, you know, I'll chase that wholeheartedly, and I'll attack it, and, you know, I know God's got me, but again, like, if that's such a slim possibility that it could happen, that. If it doesn't, you know, I know God's got other plans for me, and it just wasn't meant to be. So
that's right. That's such a good perspective to have. Well, yeah. A lot of times in life, that you're going to love this transition. A lot of times in life, we have, you know, especially for you, it's so prevalent to you. It takes a lot of great teammates to help you get to the places that you want to get to. In that same sense, it takes a lot of teammates, a lot of great teammates off the field to help you get to where you want to get to. And you have had probably the greatest teammate, if not greatest life partner that I have ever met. And her name is Mika. And so I think your guys' relationship is very admirable. You guys have been together for a very long time, and I think you could really offer some insight to what has been kind of your struggles with it, kind of your greatest moments with it. And just, so I want to start by just, who is Mika? Describe Mika to us, kind of how you guys met and how long you guys been dating, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. I did appreciate that. Mika's special, man. Like it. So, I met her at South Middle School, the same place that I first met
you. You guys have been, known each other that long?
Yeah.
No way.
Grade, she was in seventh.
Wow.
And I had fitness when she had PE. And I remember before that, this is what's funny. Before that, I had friends that when I had just moved here, and I only knew these guys from football because our dads were coaching together.
Yep.
And these guys went to Greenhurst, and they were in fifth grade, and I was going sixth. And they were like, hey, like, because we all lived close together, and they talked about this girl, Mika, that they thought was really cute in fifth grade, and they're like, let's go see her.
Starting early, my friend.
dude, my first girlfriend was kindergarten.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I love it. That's so great.
They were like, let's go see this girl Mika. She lives right down the street. We'll see if she can clear, you know, whatever. And so we go over to her house, and we end up playing football with her and her brothers. We played two-hand touch out front. And it was funny because that was when she was in fifth grade. And at the time, I don't know if I just didn't notice or what, but she'll tell you the same thing for her. Like, there wasn't necessarily an attraction there at that time, you know. Like, she was just some girl that I was playing football with, you know.
Yeah.
And then she shows back at South Middle School in seventh grade for her and eighth grade for me. I see her in the gym, and I was like, wow, that girl's really cute, you know. And then what's funny is I had another girlfriend at the time.
Wow,
and,
look at you.
and so my friend told me that he had heard that Mika was saying some, like, you know, some rumors, whatever, about me and the other girl. And so I was like, well, what's your number? You know, like, I need to text her. I need to sort this out. I get his number. Get this. I get his number to get to her and confront her for the rumors that she supposedly be speaking, saying about us or whatever. And we start flirting. I'm like, whoa, hold on. Hey, this girl's kind of cute, you know? And then 2 days later, I broke up with that girl that I was
dating. So great. That is so great.
Started pursuing Mika.
That's so great.
Yeah, so then together for a little while, you know, throughout middle school and then into high school. We had a lot of ups and downs. We had a lot of problems. And, I mean, we were young and immature. And,
yep.
You know, like, and I had moved away a couple times. I moved away my sophomore year for a month. And then, like I said earlier, I moved away my junior year to California for, you know, I was 10 months and we were apart that whole time. And then, you know, I'm moving to North Carolina for the prep school. We weren't even talking at that time. And then, you know, then we had kind of rekindled our relationship and stuff after that. And then I went to Azusa Pacific. So I had the long distance thing going on with her, but, man, like, and the thing with that is if I had to say anything about our relationship that has taught me anything, it's really just patience, man. Like,
wow.
Because there were so many times that our relationship looked so hopeless. And, like, she'll tell you, dude, we went through phases where, I couldn't get her. And, like, there's a lot of personal issues that come into play there that I won't share. But,
yep.
You know, we went through some things, and like, I was still chasing it, you know. There was something about her, and it really, truly, and this is the thing, like, it could sound cliche or whatever, but it seriously felt like God was telling me, like, this is the girl, like, I couldn't outrun her.
When you know, you know.
Exactly. And like, dude, I would try to get over her and, you know, like try to move on and just no matter what though, I could never get her out of my head. And she would always find some way back into my life. And then, so we kind of, when I came back from the prep school, again, we hadn't been talking. I hadn't seen her for 2 years. That was a big gap. And like, we've been together 9 years, if you want to count from where we first started middle school. But that was a 2 year gap where I hadn't even seen her. And then one day she was able, like, we were able to get together and it just kind of worked out. And looking back, like I talked to this lady that's a really, really good family friend of ours we met through church years ago. And she was just telling me, I remember one time when I felt so hopeless. This was before Meek and I were able to rekindle our relationship. Yeah. Like this is when I was going through it, you know, like just wanting her, but not being able to have her. And then this lady said these words that always stuck with me. And she was like, no matter what, if God has called you to be with a person or has brought somebody into your life, basically, God has a way of preserving things for the right time. And that doesn't only apply to relationships either, but in my case, it really did. And she said, like, maybe now, you know, isn't the right time for you for whatever reason. God knows what he's doing. You can get God, you know?
Yep.
But later on down the road, if it's meant to be, it'll work out kind of thing. And what's funny about that is just how true it ended up being. Like, years later, we get back together, and dude, it's been a dream for the past 4 years with her. And the only reason we're not married right now is because I don't have a job, I can't support her, you know, in school and playing football. But yeah, man, what God has like created between us is really, really special.
That's so good, man. That's so good. And I'm kind of curious too to ask. So, going through that journey and where you guys are at now, what's kept you together this long? What's kept it going? What helped you get over the difficult parts? What was it, that one thing that you can attribute to being the relationship that you guys are today?
I'd say one of the biggest things is I really believe that God kind of brought us together. I really believe that it's God that's kind of held us together, because I just don't understand how else, if not God, people like us, like that no matter what we went through, nothing broke that bond. It was always there. Like,
it's so good.
When we weren't together, like that, there was just that deep, I can't even explain it, dude. It was just like a knowing that she was the one that, you know, I was supposed to be with. And I mean, I'm sure it was the same for her in terms of the fact that she's never even had another boyfriend. Like, even in all that time that we spent together, like, it's just, yeah, dude, God, I have to give that. That's all God.
That's so.
The way that he has preserved our feelings for each other, the bond that we had between each other, and then just entrusting him now, just how he's created, you know, what we have just being so special.
Dude, that is incredible. That's so incredible, and that's honestly admirable to say the least. You know, because I would completely agree. I think it, because it's twofold. Right. You know, your guys' relationship is so palpable with the presence of God that you can't deny that. That's like, awesome. You know, like it's that powerful. So that's why when you say things like that, it's like, yeah, his words are backed up by their actions. And I think a lot of times it's difficult, man. I don't think a lot of people realize how hard it is to not start a relationship, maintain it and keep growing together.
It's learning. I mean, dude, we're not married, but I'm sure at times we sound like a married couple.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's natural. It is, dude. It's a lot of learning and growing. You know? And we're still not even close to there yet. Man. Learning everything.
Well, before I ask you, because I want to transition to faith here and kind of how you started your relationship with God and all that. But before we do that, for those of the people listening that are not necessarily faith filled or they've kind of dabbled with this whole Jesus God thing, but they're not really on board, but they still want a healthy, fruitful relationship. And maybe that hope is for them one day. But at the time being, what's one thing that you've learned with your relationship with Mika that you could give as advice to someone who's maybe in a relationship or maybe single, but looking? What's that one thing that really you and Mika have worked on together that's attributed to your great relationship?
And we just have to go back to patience, man. Like,
that's the one word.
There's, I mean, in our lives, bro, there's been so many times where like, you're going through something just bleak, or it doesn't look like it's working out, or you guys are battling something, maybe one of you is battling something, or you're battling something together. Well, you probably know, but in the Bible, when it's talking about love is this, love is that, you
know, 1 Corinthians 13.
One of the words it says is love is patient.
Yep.
And that
isn't that the first verse of that?
It is. Wow. That's the very first one. Love is patient, then followed by kind, I believe. But yeah, dude, and it's just funny how true that really is. Like when it really is love, you know, like. Because it could be very easy to just say, no, you know what, this is too hard. Like, if God wanted us to be together, then he'd make it way easier. And that's such that for a number of reasons, that's very wrong thinking. But just the fact that, no, it's not going to be easy. Nothing worth having is easy ever, you know. With that patience, dude, like, it you can really get through a lot, you know. So I would attribute everything we've been through, really, the way we got through it, a lot of it was God, or I mean, patience.
That's well said. Yep, that combination it's lethal. That'll lead to a lot of.
That's a lethal combination.
That's right, in a good way, in the best possible way.
Yeah.
So there's going to be hard times. There's going to be a lot of up and downs. But man, when you have that combo, you're going to have a lot more ups than you do downs.
Oh yeah.
And even when you have the downs, it gives you the ability to power through it. So, man, I love it, man. You put that very eloquently. But that being said, I really want to hear about your faith and your kind of relationship with Jesus, because that's obviously your biggest passion, your biggest your heart. And so I really want people to understand that about you. So I'll start it off by how did you become a Christian? Did you grow up in the church? Did you get saved at a later age? Kind of what does that journey look like for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in a preacher and a worship leader's home. So
fun.
My dad was always a preacher, and my mom was the worship leader at the church that we grew up in. So you could say that I didn't have a choice, but that's just not how God works. You always have a choice.
Yep.
I grew up in church, and from a very young age, being exposed to just such power. Dude, the church that I grew up in was such a powerful, spirit-filled church, and like you said, people that might be listening that might not be too familiar with like Christianity, what I mean by spirit filled, and that's the thing about a relationship with God and Jesus is that when you're open to it, His presence can fill a room. It could fill the earth. Like,
that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
right. But in the presence of God was just so tangible there at such a young age. I was exposed to that. I'm seeing people get, you know, prayed over and they're falling over because the Spirit of God is that was nothing foreign to me, you know. My whole life I grew up witnessing that firsthand, and just the pure power and joy of the people, of God's people, you know, in His church, just seeing the joy on those people, even though I wasn't smart enough to even fathom what was happening, I believe that was a huge foundation in my life. So that's ultimately, that's how I came to follow Jesus. And when I was 4 years old was when I remember it. I was smart enough to, you know, pray to God and say, hey, will you come into my life? Will you be my savior? I prayed the salvation prayer, you know, at 4 years old. So,
4 years old. Wow.
Yeah. So it was never, me and God aren't strangers to each other.
And never left.
And never left. Wow. And I think a big part of that, again, the reason why I've never really strayed, I mean, and here's the thing, I got to be careful because, I've never strayed away. I've never walked away from God, and he's never forsaken me. But, I mean, we all go through things where I'm sure, like, throughout high school and times, you know, middle school, I wasn't always an example of a Christian, you know, or a good enough example. But, I mean, that's the beauty of God and His grace. But, so, I mean, never walked away. I don't know how I could. I don't know how just knowing Him and experiencing Him in the ways that I have. It's not a belief that God is real. It's I know Him. You know, I know He is.
So it's personal.
I can't turn away from that ever.
Wow. Wow. So then I'm curious, because I have a very similar upbringing as well. I grew up in I grew up in a Romanian Christian household, so it was very strict. It was extremely strict, and so anything you say, do is sin, essentially. And so, growing up in the church, I've seen a lot of people fall away and, you know, they grew up in it. And I think it says a lot about your character, the fact that you stuck through it. Now, obviously both of us would agree that, like you just said, there's definitely those moments where you're dealing with doubt, you're dealing with shame, with these things in your life, these battles, and you know, it's not perfect. It's not clean. And it's, but thankfully to our faith, it makes us clean. And I just want to hear from your perspective, what kept, like, you're 23 now, and you're essentially, it's almost 20 years since you made that salvation prayer. Right. And so for you, what is it, what can you attribute to the fact that you never left, you never deserted your faith, but no matter what you went through, it's always been there for you?
Well, there's a few things. I think one of the biggest and the first things is that my roots and in the church that I grew up in. And like I said, just growing accustomed to that at such a young age and witnessing that and just the power that was there, like, that's always stuck with me. And the teachings that I had heard, the messages I slept through as a little kid. And then my parents, man, like, my parents are, they're awesome examples of, I mean, yeah, they sin, they mess up, you know, they're definitely not perfect by any means, but they're great examples of faith to me, and they never have strayed away. And I think that's a huge reason why I haven't either. And then, you know, I've had countless, you know, family members praying over me and my siblings and our cousins since we were young, you know, just keep us in the house, you know, and just that kind of thing. So, and then I can say, as I've grown older, one thing when I read the Bible, there's always been this one story that has just always stuck with me, and just in terms of everything I've done in life, but especially so regarding, like, you know, like football and that sort of thing, and it's Job. And if you look at the story of Job, Job, like, he was rich, you know, he had everything he could have ever wanted. He had property, he had a beautiful family, and then, like, it was taken from him, you know, and because God allowed him to be tested. And if you want to go, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have heard the story. No, not everybody has. If you haven't, go read it.
Go read it. It's a must read.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great example of faith. But so he loses his family. He loses everything he owns. He loses his house, but still he doesn't turn away. The very first reaction that he has when going through all that is to praise God. And that's just so backwards of, like, human nature, if you know what I mean. Like, when we go through something, like, and especially me, man, like, in that instant when I'm going through something, it's so easy for me to just tone out God and just, no, like, this, how could you let this happen to me? Like, come on, you're supposed to be in this with me. And there's such a freedom that comes, and a lesson to be learned about if you're able to switch your mind and be like, wait, hold on, like, I'm going through this, and it's not because of God, but no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to turn my eyes to God and praise him, and then watch how he blesses us later. And Job's story is a perfect reflection of that, because Job was able to keep his eyes on God and continue to press in and seek God, God restored what he had. And I don't quote me on it, but it's, like, I think, like, tenfold or something. Yeah. I'm not even sure. Like, he blessed him with more than he ever even had before. Yeah. And that's God, man. Like, no matter what you're going through, God's got a plan for you. And that's been something that's so true in my life. Like, it looks bleak, and then boom, a big blessing. Like, and as I didn't touch on earlier, there were times at APU, actually, where I was like, because I, you know, like, I was only playing special teams, but I really wanted to play on offense, and I wasn't getting the opportunity. Yep. And again, a lot of that, obviously, is my fault. If you don't have the ability, or you're not, you know, performing, you're not performing. But in those times, I'm like, God, like, you're supposed to, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to have favor, where are you, you know? And then, boom, dude, look what happens. I end up at Boise State, which was a dream come true. And, like, even through this, you know, it hasn't been easy, but I know that God's got a plan. So, but yeah, that's a huge, just that example of faith that Job has, that one story in the Bible, has really been a huge reason why I just can't imagine turning away from God, no matter what I'm going through.
Wow, man. That's good. That's so good, dude, because it's so real. But there's just the one thing that amazed Jesus when you read through the New Testament, it was faith. It was audacious faith, right? It was when the people of his hometown, when he went back, why couldn't they perform miracles? Why couldn't he? Because it was faith. And at the end of the day, you just conceptualized everything about the gospel, is that, you know, you can it can be a bunch of different rules and regulations for a lot of people, but at the end of the day, right. It's just, do you really believe, do you have faith enough to believe that God is real, that God is loving, and that he wants the best for us? And it's evident in your life, to say the least. But before we start wrapping this up, I'm kind of curious, from your journey and with faith and even in your personal life, what's the one lesson, what's the one thing that you've learned from your relationship with Jesus that you think has made you the person that you are today?
Man, that's hard to pinpoint one thing, but as you said that, I think the one thing that really came to mind is that no matter who I am or no matter what I'm going through, God is still God, and God does not change. And I think that that's one thing that I've learned, and I've learned the hard way, because, like, again, and going back to that whole, you know, Job thing or whatever, just different trials in my life have come up. It's so easy for me, as, and I'm sure a lot of other people too, but I just know I can only speak on my experience. But for me to look at what I'm going through and not look towards God, but to look at what I'm going through and how big of a problem this is, and you know, and then it's so easy to try to take that into my own hands and work my own way around it to no avail. And then, you know, and then it's like, God's like, hey, I'm God, you know, like, yeah, you're going through this, but no matter what you go through, I'm God. Like, I'm going to make a way where I've called you to be, you know, and that's just, I would really say that in my life, that's been the biggest. It might sound even very simple and not necessarily something too profound, but yeah, man, that's been the staple of my life, that God is God no matter what I'm going through, no matter who I am, how bad I mess up. Like, I could turn away, you know, and not talk to God, not pray, not, you know, not even live a Christian life for years, but God will still be God when I choose to come back, you know. And that's,
wow, so powerful.
That's one of my favorite things about God.
That's so powerful, man. Like, that brings a smile to my face, because that, you can, man, I couldn't say it better. I couldn't say it any better, because it's that true. It's that powerful. Yeah. Man, absolutely. I love that. So one thing that, so for those of us listening that are not, like, I, you know, earlier, like I said, maybe there's people out here, maybe they're atheist, agnostic, Buddhist, whatever they believe. And at the end of the day, just thankful that this is a platform that we can share all beliefs and all different perspectives. But from your perspective, what's one thing that about your relationship that you want someone to know about who maybe doesn't know Jesus? What do you want them to know?
Just, man, like, this is something that I stay up at night thinking about sometimes. Just how sweet the love of God is, man. Like, and to people who have never experienced it, it almost hurts me that a lot of people haven't experienced it. So, and what I mean by that is when you decide to follow God and really, really seek him, he's going to be there, you know. And, and a lot of people, I think, that might not know God, and this isn't to, you know, knock on your beliefs, if anybody, you know, doesn't believe like I believe, if you never experienced it, you really don't know what you're missing out. But I would encourage anybody to seek God, because he's gonna answer, you know. Like, anyway, and like you and I, we hear in church all the time, he's knocking on your door, and that's the door of your heart. And that's so true, man. Like, he's right there waiting for you to step out and get to know him and seek him. And when you do, like, and you follow God, like, I can't even put into words what I mean by how sweet his love is. Like his presence, when he just comes over you and loves on you, like, dude, it's like,
it's overwhelming.
It is. It's overwhelming. You can't even put it into words. There's no feeling like it. It saturates your soul, like, and you just, I mean, man, like, you just break down and cry, and it's like you're bending, like the song, like, you know, what's the song?
How He Loves Us?
Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
How He Loves, yeah. I couldn't remember the name, but yeah, no, it's like that, you know. We're just bending beneath the weight of his glory, and beyond his glory, but his love and his grace. And I mean, dude, he created us, and just the way he loves us is just, it's so, the word sweet just always comes to my mind, because there's nothing I've ever experienced or could imagine experiencing that would be sweeter than just the love of God. And so, Wow. Yeah, man, that's it.
It's so well said, man. Well, before we kind of wrap up here, just in general, kind of going forward, kind of as you move on to the next season of your life, as you continue to prepare for the football season, is there anything else on your heart that you just feel like you want to share? Is there anything in particular that you want people to know, whether it's about yourself or whether it's about future projects? Kind of take this opportunity to just share what's on your heart.
Well, the one thing on my heart is just even something that I strive to do, and it's this: it's when, and I really believe this, that when God gives you a dream, and I might have even said this earlier in this episode, and if I did, I apologize, but and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I really believe that when God gives you a dream and you feel something like deep within you, you know, that you just, it's something you want to chase. I truly, truly believe that if God's given you something to dream about, you're meant to chase it. And I would say chase whatever that is. Keep your eyes on God throughout the whole thing and don't give up, and watch how whatever it is that you're chasing, watch how it works out, and watch how amazing God makes it, and it'll become something that you could never imagine on your own. And I mean, like, that's been so true in my life. Like I said, man, out of high school, Boise State, I truly don't even believe Boise State is the pinnacle for my life. It's just where I'm at right now. And it's just, there were times where that wasn't even like possible in my mind. It's so easy for us as humans. We're so limited in our minds, you know, like that's impossible. Everything's impossible to us. If it's, you know, if it's out there and like, you know, it's the chances are slim, it just becomes impossible. You know, that's one word that we use.
That limiting mindset just holds us back from everything.
Dude, but that's so opposite of God. Like, all things are possible, you know, like, and he's really shown me that. And I mean, I can't even wait for the rest of my life, because I just know that no matter what happens in my life, I'm just going to chase whatever I feel that I'm called to do, and watch how God just blows it up beyond anything I could possibly ever imagine. And I really believe he's going to do that for anybody else that does the same.
Come on. I'm fired up. I don't know if any of you are listening to this and you're not fired up after hearing that. I don't know what we got to do. Maybe we got to get in touch with you personally. But man, it's go time. It's put yourself out there, take faith. And for those of you who have listened and continue to listen, I have had multiple, I was re-listening to some of my own, you know, not to sound narcissistic or anything, but I was listening to a past podcast, and this has been a recurring theme of every single one that I've done, is faith. And no matter what it comes down to in our lives, it takes faith to it's twofold. Either believe that it's going to be a positive outcome. It may not be what you want, but it'll be a positive learning lesson or outcome. Right. And the second part of it is just taking, it's one step. It's we're so hard on ourselves. We're so limited in what we believe that it's going to take all these things to get to that place, when in reality, it just takes one step of momentum. And faith is a momentous step. That one step you take creates that waterfall of everything around you falling into a funnel where it's just starting to get narrowed down to your goal. And your life isn't this complete puzzle piece of like, what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's just that faith. That's it.
Yeah, that was a heck of a visual.
And so it's just, that's kind of, man, that's why I love it. So if you guys are listening and you're not fired up, we need to get some heart checks around here, because it's that's what it's about right there. It takes faith, whatever you do. And it only magnifies when you put your faith in the right places. And for me and Jake over here, it's our faith in Jesus. And so I really appreciate putting in that place. But with that being said, anything else you'd like to add before we close this up?
Yeah, I just thank you a ton for allowing me to be on here and just voice, you know, some of my opinions and my beliefs and things that I've gone through, my experiences. Thanks, man.
Of course, man.
Anytime I get the chance to share anything that I feel like God has taught me, and I don't know at all. I'm very, very limited, actually. I feel like in my knowledge, and a lot of you probably can hear that.
I wouldn't say that, but dude, if anything, you don't know it all, but you're learning a lot.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
There's stuff to be said about people who continue to learn.
And I hope that God continues to teach me, man, and I know that's he right. will. So
that's right, man. Well, that's well put. Well, before we close this up, I want to give people an opportunity to find you on social media so they can connect with you if they'd like. So on Instagram, where do you have an, Instagram, right? Yeah, it's Can you spell out your handle? Wow. See now this is why you're the great man that you are, because you're not wasting your time on social media.
Hey, that's not to say I'm not on.
No, you're just more heavy on Facebook.
It's Jake_Shaddix on Instagram.
Jake_Shaddix. I'll spell that out. So if you guys want to connect with Jake on Instagram, it is JAKE_SHADDOX. And on Facebook, it's just Jake Shaddix, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just going to say, if there's another Jake Shaddix, I'm pretty sure pictures like Boise State, you know, stuff. So
yeah, like we got some catfishing to report around here.
Yeah.
That's so good. Awesome. And you can't miss him. He looks like Tim Tebow. Sounds like him too. So. Oh, but
that's a heck of a guy to look like.
That's right. That's not a bad place to be in life. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, hey, man, I truly appreciate you jumping on. And, you know, like I said, and like what Jake said, just we'll reiterate faith. If you guys listen to this, the one thing to take away from it is just continue to challenge your mindset, continue to understand that it takes faith in whatever you do. And it's not hard to access. It's just having the ability and the belief that you can access it. So, Jake, with all that being said, I want to thank you very much. I think this is one of my favorite podcasts, and I think you did a great job, and I'd love to – we'll definitely have to chop it up again pretty soon here.
Hey, yeah, I'm all for it. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, man. But that being said, I'm going to close this up here. If you guys want to connect with me on social media, you can find me at JacobNeToo on all platforms, Instagram, Facebook. That is JACOBNITU. And it's not hard to find me because you'll see Becoming the Anomaly podcast and all the other good stuff. So if you guys are interested, want to learn more, love feedback. And for those of you listening and you want to be interviewed, you have a cool story like Shaddix over here, reach out to me. I'd love to set up some times and let's make this a community where people's voices are heard and their stories are shared, because at the end of the day, it's impacting everyone around us. So with all that being said, I want to thank each and every one of you guys for listening. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. And as always, in order to become the anomaly means to be set apart, means to be different. So today, make a concerted effort to be different in everything you do. So with all that being said, set the standard, become the anomaly, chase greatness. We'll see you guys later. Peace.